to be his disciples if you continue. The word is continue, not start and stop. Now, if something happened and you fall, he said the saints will get up seven times. You can fall seven times and you get back up. But he's not talking about you living sloppy and just doing it when you want to. We must continue in the word. We must read, study, meditate, you know, and most of all, practice what we read. We practice the word of God. Then and only then can we be God's disciples. Some of us are no longer disciples, but we think we are. 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul talks about Timothy. And he tells him when he's talking to him in this letter, he tells him to be steadfast in the scriptures. You know, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. See, continue in the scriptures. He said, be steadfast. Steadfast means to be fixed in, you know, to be unwavering in the scriptures. How many of us can say we're fixed in the scriptures and unwavering? We can't say that. Most of us can't say that because we don't even know how to fight with the scriptures. We don't even know how to take the scriptures and win the battle over Satan. When he comes after our children, when he comes after our homes, when he comes after our job, when he comes after our money, we don't know how to fight him because we don't know how to use those scriptures. You know? And he said, but continue thou in the things which thou have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. You know you've learned, you know, they learned those scriptures, the disciples, from Jesus. They learned those scriptures from Jesus. And then the disciples took those scriptures and then they taught it to other people. And this is how we get the scriptures, because it's written for us to get. So saints of God, we're going to have to learn how to do the things that God say do. We're going to have to learn to shape our character just like the word of God. If we want to get the things of God, we're going to have the character that's honest and true and sincere just like the word says. Then and only then can we be God's disciples. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 13. Exodus, chapter 12, verse 13. This is perhaps one of the most complete verses in the Old Testament that gives a glimpse of the gospel, that makes clear what God's plan was for his people. And it says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. May the Lord add a blessing to the reason of his word. You may be seated. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. This word, my brothers and sisters, gives to us a helpful, holy hint as to the gospel in preview. And so when we recognize all that this word entails, it literally gives us the story of the Passover. And in this verse, it's literally talking about the 10th plague. He starts off with the first plague of water turned into blood. In the New Testament, Jesus turns water into wine. He then goes on to the second plague, frogs, then gnats, and he goes on with all of the other plagues that literally bring us to this 10th plague, which is the plague of the death of the firstborn. And so God has tried in many essences to reach the people, but he had to demonstrate his power. For 430 years, his people cried out to him, but because of their previous sins and erring ways, God turned a deaf ear to him. He finally hears their prayer and now starts to turn to answering his prayer. He calls and prepares a man by the name of Moses, equips him to go down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Pharaoh questions who this God of Moses is. And God tells Moses, tell him, I am that I am. The name means unusual, uncommon, and unlimited. He is able to do whatsoever he desires. But knowing the heart of Pharaoh was not convinced, God chose, the Bible says, to harden his heart. In hardening his heart, he then brings upon these 10 plagues that plague the land, but none of them really reaches him until it gets to the firstborn child of every man and beast that's not covered by the blood. God gives strict instructions about a lamb of a year and prepared without spot and blemish, and he's told he tells them, rather, how to prepare that lamb and how to treat that lamb and how to eat that lamb. And when all was through, they would have the blood of the lamb to sacrifice to God and the meat of the lamb to eat for themselves. It could not be a lamb with spices and herbs. It had to be just roasted. And that is a sacrifice, my brothers and sisters. No leavened bread. It had to be unleavened. And so it really wasn't for satisfaction, but rather for nutrients and nutritious value. And so this was important because when you look at the blood and God speaking to them about where to put the blood, and we'll go back in the verse and deal with it, but a quick association. The blood represented the blood of Christ, and the doorpost and the lintel represented the cross. And so in the Old Testament, you had a type of Christ by the shed blood of that lamb and the doorpost upon which that blood would be spread, which reminds us of the cross of Christ. So in helping us to understand, it was a future picture of what was to come. Because you will recognize when we look at the scripture, it starts off, and the blood. Let's stop right there, because the blood is the prominent theme in the Old Testament. It was used for offerings. It was used for atonement. It was used for salvation. The blood is prominent in the Word of God. From the bloodless sacrifice of Cain to Leviticus 17 and 11, talking about life is in the blood, to Hebrews 9 and 22, warning us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, to Revelation 12 and 11, that talks about the Lamb's blood or the shed blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. And then John 1, I wish I had a witness here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 talks about the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So the blood is prominent in the Word of God. And don't you think, my brothers and sisters, that you can get to heaven without the blood. Somebody ought to say, thank God for the blood. And this blood is prominent. But not only is it the blood I see in this text, but I need you to see the place of the blood. Because the Bible says, and this shall be a token upon the houses where ye are. So now the blood had to be strategically placed on the doorpost and the lintel. Listen, where ye are. It couldn't be at your mama house and not at your house. It couldn't be at your neighbor's house and not at your house. The blood had to be on your doorpost and lintel. And it's important to understand that it was clear that the blood was the very prominent reality of the salvation that would come to everyone that obeyed it. That's why it's important for you to know that blood was required then, and blood is required now, and it's nothing but the blood that saved us. He moves on in the verse from not only the prominence of the blood and the place of the blood, but the protection by the blood. Now listen at this, because he goes on to say, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Listen at this. It's got to be on your house. And when it's on your house, doorpost, and lintel, I will pass over you. The blood protects you from the work of the enemy and from the divine judgment of God. Listen, do you know it's nothing you can tell God about your sins that he will hear without the blood? Every time you say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned, you have got to be backed up by the blood. In other words, Jesus has got to be your Savior, because whenever you confess your sins, he is faithful and just enough to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But the seventh verse says that his blood washes us Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody righteous. You can sit here and fake and act like you all of that, and you put on your religious garbs and your holier-than-thou attitude. But I tell you, God knows you. He knows you in public. He knows you in private. He knows you in secret. He knows your every conversation. He knows you. And the only way you're going to get by anyway with God is by the blood. Listen to what I love about it. Because the blood protects us, it's not really about us. That's why we can tell God all about us. Because with the blood protecting us, listen, he said, notice this, catch this now. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Here's what this means. When I see the blood over your door, I won't even come in to judge you. See, this was about judgment. This was about God's divine judgment here. He's literally saying, if I see the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, I will pass over you and not judge you. So let me make it a little plain, because I don't hear no shouting and rejoicing going on. If you were a murderer, if you were a whoremonger, a drug addict, if you were a liar, if you were a backstab, if you were whatever you were, he wasn't there to judge you. If you had blood. Well, the only reason why you ought to shout about that, because it's still relevant today. What Jesus has done for us, listen. He has paid the price for our sins. And therefore, when God sees the blood over our lives, he's not interested in all of the stuff that we've done, because the blood has paid for it all. When you confess your sin, but some of us are so slick, even though the Lord has prepared our way by shedding of his son's blood, some of us think we don't have to confess our sins. But I want to serve notice on you. The devil is a liar, and you are too. You will die and go to hell in your sins without confessing them. The blood covers those who want to be cleansed. Blood covers those who confess their weaknesses. The blood covers those who are ready to get right with God and want him to make them right. Not for those who are covering up their sins. And may I suggest to you, the only reason why folk cover up their sins is because they want to go back to them again. But when you are through with your sins, you don't mind saying, what I used to be, I ain't that no more. I can tell you where I was, because I'm not there anymore. Look at where the Lord has brought me from. Any witnesses in the house? Any exes in the house? Ex this, ex that, ex the other, because the Lord. Now don't get me wrong, he's still working on us. But there ought to be some things he's worked out. Did you hear what I said? Some things ought to already be over with. Hallelujah. And then. he talks about the power of the blood. He says, and the plague shall not be upon you. Listen at this. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Now listen at this. When I smite the land of Egypt. Now here's what's interesting. It did not matter if you were considered his people. Doesn't matter or didn't matter if you belonged to him. What mattered was the following of his instructions. Now with this 10th plague, if there was no blood on the doorposts and lintel, then the death angel would come in, and the firstborn of man and beast would be killed. Everywhere there was blood, God's death angel passed over. But guess where there wasn't any blood? There was no blood in the palace on Pharaoh's doors. And Pharaoh didn't really want to believe that the God of Israel was as powerful as Moses said. And so God, in hardening his heart, showed him his power. And you know, my brothers and sisters, what amazes me, and I take courage in that, that God can deal with your enemies, and your enemies don't even know God's dealing with them. That's why he wants me to pray for my enemy, because if I don't pray for them, Lord, have mercy on them. He told Job, listen, pray for your friends / enemies. And when God had Job to pray for his enemies, listen, God turned Job's situation around. Listen, and the only reason why his friends / enemies were saved is because Job prayed for them. Listen, sometimes you can be through with folk, but you still ought to pray for them. Somebody gonna catch that on their way home. I ain't got to put up with you, but I'm gonna pray for you. The old folk used to say, I'm gonna put you in the hand. Yeah, yeah. Of the Lord. And so God stopped by way of the death angel to the palace and visited Pharaoh's house and took his firstborn. And Pharaoh was so full and recognized that this God whom Moses served was real and ordered him, you and your people, get out of my land. Take your stuff and get on out of here. I'm just telling you, it's because of the power of the blood that God can do some unusual things. God can work out situations you never thought he could do through the power of that blood. Thank God for the blood. It was the blood of Jesus that saved me. It was at the cross, wherever Christ saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy all the day. Can I get a witness? Yay! 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 I know he's all right. Thank you, Jesus. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Glory to God. Is there one today? Oh, it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Yes, it was. Oh, my Lord. Come on, the doors are open. Whoever you are, it's the blood. He died. I know. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know it was the blood. My precious blood. Precious blood of the Lamb. Oh Lord. My precious Lamb blood. He died. Oh Lord. They whipped him all night long. Yes, they did. Come on, this is your time. Come on. Whipped him all night long. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He died. I know he did. One more thing I want to tell you. He never said a mumbling word. No, no, no. Never said, oh Lord, yeah, yes, he died upon, oh my Lord. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise if you will.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-9000.